Welcome to the Day One Podcast. For more information about this weekly program featuring outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.org.
Too many times, instead of Jesus holding us accountable, we try to hold Jesus accountable. Instead of finding how to serve others, we expect Jesus and others to serve us. We create a feel-good God, one that shares our blindness and our weakness.
That's the Reverend Dr. Wiley Stevens. I'm Peter Wallace. Join us for some stimulating conversation and a message of faith today on Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's preacher.
Thanks, Sherry. We're honored to welcome back to Day One the Reverend Dr. B. Wiley Stevens, who was with us 7 weeks ago. Wiley has been a leader in the United Methodist Church in a variety of levels, and for 44 years has been a member of the North Georgia Conference. For the past 18 years, he has served as senior pastor of Dunwoody United Methodist Church in Dunwoody, Georgia. Wiley, welcome back.
Thanks, Peter. It's good to be back.
On your church's website, there's a list of your congregational values, and it says, "As a family of God's people, we rejoice, renew, reach out together." And each of those areas includes specific ways you strive to fulfill those values. But I wonder if you would describe for us briefly, first, what it means to rejoice together.
Of course, this is the heart of the worship life of the church. And whether in music or word or however we're celebrating God's presence, it's feeling that joy, rejoicing.
And renew together.
This is where we have our nurture ministries. It's such things as our church school program, Bible studies, and part of our worship, of course, to renew our faith.
And then reach out together.
Well, the church is the only organization in history that was created for the benefit of its non-members. Mm. And our challenge is to reach out to our community and, yes, to our world as we share the good news of Christ.
And you do that in a number of ways.
We do. We have missionaries in several countries. One couple, for example, in Ghana that came out of our church and is serving full-time, as well as mission teams that go to these places, such as one that went this late this summer to Ghana itself.
The website also says you seek to build on your strengths as a large church while fostering the multitude of connections that make you a close-knit community. How do you, as the senior pastor, work to make that happen?
Well, first, I, of course, am dependent upon a very talented staff that I'm blessed to work with. Secondly, is volunteers within the congregation, such ministries as Stephen Ministry, where people are trained to give that care, Sunday school leaders and others that can reach and touch lives. We all need a place where we are known by name, and you can't do that with 4,000, but you can do that in small groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, today is the final Sunday of the church's liturgical year, and I'm curious how you, as a minister, approach starting a new year next week as Advent begins.
Well, it's the challenge of discovering the joy and the hope of Christmas, let Christ be born anew in our lives and in our world. We will spend the next 4 Sundays getting ready for the coming of the King.
And you recently authored a book many, I'm sure, listening would enjoy reading as they prepare for Christmas. Tell us about that book.
The Voices of Bethlehem. It's 12 stories of Christmas seen through the eyes of the characters. For example, there will be a story of Joseph. There's a story of John the Baptist. There's a story of others from the book. Some are straight from Scripture, and others were created, for example, like the stable boy or a Roman soldier, the innkeeper. It will just be those ways of seeing what happened in Bethlehem translated in what that means to our lives today.
And these chapters were originally sermons that you presented as the character.
That's correct. They have all been preached. They are first-person sermons where I would speak as the character speaks and give their perspective.
Well, before we get to Advent and Christmas, today the church celebrates the reign of Christ. It's also called Christ the King Sunday. Is there a reason why we consider Christ's reign on this final Sunday of the church calendar?
I guess as we move through the whole year, the birth of Christ, the ministry of Christ, the crucifixion, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the last word is God reigns.
Mm. Well, the gospel text for today is from Matthew chapter 25, and it's a rather uncomfortable tableau for many. Would you read it for us?
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at the right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will come to those at his right hand. Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? The king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are cursed, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
So, Wiley, how literally should we take this passage?
I think it's Jesus sharing with us how he sees what I call in this sermon the audit of the soul. Is how we measure up. It's in specific acts of kindness and goodness that we'll be judged by.
How would you define the phrase, the least of these, and who might they be for us today?
Well, I think they are those who are pushed to the margins of society, those without voice. In some cases, those who are strangers in our land, like the immigrants. Sometimes it's those who are economically deprived as minorities. Sometimes those with handicaps.
Well, Wiley, we look forward to learning more about how the least of these should be ministered to. Your sermon is entitled Heaven's Audit of One's Soul. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks. This Sunday is the final Sunday of the church's liturgical year. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent, and we will start the year fresh as we prepare for the coming of Jesus into the world at Christmas. This Sunday is designated as Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ, a day set aside to express our faith that after all is said and done, at the end of the world, God's kingdom will come, and his reign in our lives and the entire world will be complete. But how does one know if he or she will be a part of that kingdom? How does one know if one is a part of that kingdom even now? Our gospel lesson for today is the answer I think Jesus would have for us. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, he shares his vision of what the final judgment will be like. You might call it heaven's audit of one's soul. You might ask, why an audit at all? If we talk of God's grace and mercy, why not just include everyone in the kingdom? It is done for the same reason an audit is done in business. Test the accuracy of what is told to be true. To deal not with appearances, but with what is actually in the record of one's living, out one's faith. It is not a matter of being Sunday nice. It is a challenge of what we have done with what God has entrusted to us. The story is told of a young monk asking an older monk, "Father, if God is infinitely merciful, how can he deprive anyone of his heavenly kingdom?" The older monk answered, "Why do you keep turning your head from side to side?" The younger monk replied, "Because the sun keeps hitting me right in the eye and just won't leave me in peace." "Then you've answered your own question," the older monk laughed. "God doesn't deprive anyone of his heavenly kingdom. Some simply cannot bear the light any more than you can bear the light of the sun." This vision of the last judgment is telling us that there is a greater standard than what we think or what we're comfortable with. Leander Keck has noted that true authority is not self-generated, but stands over against us because it has its own integrity. It is a standard by which we can be judged. This speaks of an ultimate justice where that which is wrong will be made right. We will be held accountable. Bishop William Willimon points out, we cannot make Jesus into anything we want. He is what he was, and I might add, what he is and will be. Willimon says Jesus has his own right to be heard. The challenge of the scriptures is clear. There are not walls we can hide behind. We must love even our enemies. We must reach out to all in loving compassion. Jesus will judge injustice for what it is, and the wrongs shall be made right. The bishop further adds that in contemporary Christian ethics, there is great silence about our accountability to Jesus. Here in this vision of the last judgment, we're not dealing with abstract ideas such as justice or equality, but food for hungry people and compassion for those who are cut off from the world. There is nothing abstract about clothing a person who needs clothes. One might feel overwhelmed by such issues as war and terror, climate change, natural disasters, and epidemics. But while you and I may not be able to sit in Congress or be in a place of power, we can deal with any and all of those issues one person at a time. This vision of Matthew 25 is dealing with just such direct acts that touched one person. The challenge to each of us is, how do we measure up? What is the capacity of my soul? These are the issues one will face in this heavenly audit. Can you not only receive but also give is a challenge of our Thanksgiving holiday as a nation this coming Thursday. This season is not only a time for a litany of praise where we will be blessed, but to be reminded of the importance of sharing those blessings. Can you not only know of your faith, but live in such a way that follows what you have learned of the faith? Can you make that commitment and mold your life by it? Can you not only believe, but trust with your whole being, even when the way turns uphill and the struggle becomes hard? Can you dare to risk by attempting to try some of the many opportunities to show our faith and to live as Christ would have us to live? This particularly becomes a challenge when those opportunities challenge us to serve those who are among the least of our society. How do you measure up? What is the capacity of your soul? A little girl once asked, "If God is inside of me and is so big, why does he break through?" This is the question of this heavenly audit. Why doesn't the grace and love of God break through in the way we speak and how we act, in the many times we come in contact with others? The issue is accountability and God's chosen way of caring for his children. He has chosen to work in and through us who are called to be a part of the body of Christ. Both the sheep and goats in the vision of the final judgment were surprised. The goats were not necessarily bad people. You get the feeling in their surprised response that if they had known what was needed, they would have responded. In the Gospel of Thomas, one of those historical books that did not make it into our Bible, but still is a part of our tradition, Jesus is reported to have said as he passed someone giving alms to the poor, "Bless you if you do not know the good you are doing. Curse you if you know the good you are doing." The words of Thomas are challenging us to look at what motivates our actions. How much at the core of whom we are is the good we do? The sheep had no idea who they were visiting or feeding or clothing. They only saw a fellow human being that needed help, and they responded. After all, who would not do these things for Jesus if they knew it was him? They lived as Marcus Borg wrote in Meeting Jesus for the First Time. He wrote that compassion in the Bible meant literally to be in the womb with the other. When we have compassion, such as a sheep in this vision, we realize our God is also their God, that we are very much sisters and brothers together with all, including those who suffer. Much of our failure to reach those in need is our lack of an awareness. Maybe we fail to realize that even the smallest of efforts can do for those who are desperate, such as the hungry, the homeless, and the imprisoned. Maybe we have been too quick to judge them for their situation instead of investing ourselves and our resources to change that situation. Maybe our failure comes from not being willing to start, since these issues, particularly in the economy we are in, seem so great. Notice the vision doesn't say the sheep reached everyone, but they did reach someone. For remember, the sheep were surprised also. The good they did was not to gain favor or position or recognition. It was their response to what God had done and was doing in their lives. Our gospel today reads, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Literally, you gathered me in." There's a national restaurant chain in that commercial that speaks of, "When you're here, you're family." That is the spirit of what the sheep were doing. What a challenge to us as a society as we struggle with the issues and impact of immigration. There are truly strangers in our midst. How easy it is to ignore them or to blame them. As we said, the goats in our vision would in all likelihood have been guilty of not even seeing the stranger. The challenge is not only to see them, but to see them as brothers and sisters. The challenge is to see Christ in them and to gather them in. Our faith is a challenge to expand our comfort zones. After all, the fringe will not be those we usually associate with. We're not comfortable with a stranger. Early in life, we learned that stranger meant danger, but we must find ways to reach those in need in our world. A hungry man was walking down the street in a village of medieval Turkey. He had only a piece of bread in his hand. He came to a restaurant where some meatballs were being grilled. The cooking meat was so near and the smell so delicious, the man held his piece of bread over the meat to capture some of the smell. As he started to eat the bread, the angry restaurant owner seized him and took him away to see a judge. The owner protested, "This man was stealing the smell of my meat without asking permission. I want you to make him pay me for it." The judge thought for a moment, then held up his purse in front of the owner and shook it. "What are you doing that for?" asked the restaurant owner. The judge replied, "I am paying you. The sound of money is fair payment for the smell of food." The challenge when we are dealing with the least and the last is to make sure that what we are sharing with them is real. We must make sure that our care is expressed in ways that are tangible and begins to change lives. This audit of the soul is not where we argue to present our case, or even one we prepare to be judged. It rather is one we live. We're judged not by our membership in a church, but rather what we do for others. Not by what we know, but what we have shared. Both the sheep and goats will be judged not by their creeds, but by their deeds. Many of us can identify with the little boy who was given 2 quarters, one to buy candy and one to put in the church offering plate. He ran down the street, and in his enthusiasm, he lost a quarter down the culvert. Standing there, he was heard to say, "Well, Lord, there goes your quarter." One gets the feeling that the sheep responded as a priority in their lives. It is rarely the convenient or easy thing to help the least, the last, and the lost. It will cost us in time, money, and worry. Our passage from Matthew is one of the few places where Jesus is the judge. Too many times, instead of Jesus holding us accountable, we try to hold Jesus accountable. Instead of finding how to serve others, we expect Jesus and others to serve us. We create a feel-good God, one that shares our blindness and our weakness. But in our gospel today, we're dealing with the standard of that which is to be His kingdom, and it is not to feel good, but to be good. In today's gospel, Jesus becomes a prophet for the ones pushed to the edge of society. What a friend we have in Jesus comes alive for those living on the edge. We see this image of Jesus over and over again in the gospel as the one who receives the children, responds to the outcast of society, those with the leprosy, those who collected taxes, the foreigner and the blind. Jesus did not turn them away, but found specific ways to care for them. The audit of the soul is demanding the same of us. Will you please join me in prayer? Gracious God, you have blessed us in so many ways, and in this season of Thanksgiving, we thank Thee. And may we show that thankfulness by the way we live and the way we share. Amen.
Now let's rejoin our host, Peter Wallace, and Wiley Stevens for some final thoughts on this week's message.
Wiley, this passage in Matthew 25 indicates, along with many others in the Bible, that there will come a time when God will reign in all the world. And yet we also read in the Bible that the reign of God is within us here and now. How should we reconcile those two concepts?
Well, the kingdom is something we can belong to now as we commit ourselves when we follow Christ. It's a quality of life and a way of living. But also there will come the day when God will rule all of life, and we will not have to worry about making those choices because we're in His kingdom.
As abstract and full of imagery as this passage is, it still, as you point out, comes down to very practical ideas of feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. Is Christ's call on our lives really that simple?
Christ wants all of our life, obviously. But we can say one thing, but it's the way we live that really matters. And it's in the specifics that can be measured. And so, yeah, it does come down that simple. When we make the choice, if we're going to respond to the needs of the world. Of course, we do that collectively through the ministry and the mission of the church.
Mm-hmm. You pointed out that Thanksgiving, which we observe this week, is an opportunity for us not only to praise God for our blessings, but also to share our blessings with others. What are some practical ways we could do that?
Well, many of us would have the custom of preparing baskets to give to those in need at Thanksgiving. I encourage us to think of those kind of feeding ministries to go through the whole year and continue that. Many have people around us who are lonely and who will be alone this holiday. Mm-hmm. Reach out to them, but don't just do that on the holidays. Do that at other times as well.
I like the question that little girl asked, if God is inside of me and is so big, why doesn't He break through? You said that is the question of this heavenly audit. Why doesn't the grace and love of God break through in the way we speak and act? So what should we do to enable God to break through our lives like that?
Well, first, be willing to get outside of what you're comfortable in. It's not easy to do these things many times. It also means prioritizing a generosity toward others through perhaps giving through the church as opposed just to keeping it for ourselves. Mm.
You said our faith is a challenge to expand our comfort zone so we're not comfortable with a stranger because early in life we learn that stranger means danger. So how can we overcome that fear and reach beyond our comfort zones?
Well, I think we need to find safe ways to do ministries. We just don't go out on the streets and start doing it. We find it maybe through institutions that we can function through or ways we can be safe.
Wiley, what's the one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this coming week?
Far more important than our creeds is the deeds we live by.
Wiley Stevens, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Day One brings you preachers from the United Methodist Church, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the United Church of Christ. Donald Jones is our production supervisor and audio engineer, and Peter Wallace, our executive producer. It's been our joy to bring you today's program. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever. This is Sherry Miller. During this holy season, all of us at Day One send you our best wishes for a meaningful and merry Christmas. We're grateful to our radio stations for carrying this program and to you for listening so faithfully. Every week, hundreds of thousands of people like you appreciate the insight and inspiration Day One offers on the radio and online. And during this season, we're especially grateful that Day One is broadcast through the American Forces Radio Network to our servicemen and women in 177 countries around the world. We rely on the financial support of churches and individuals like you to produce the Day One program. And as we come to the end of the year, we hope you'll consider making a generous contribution to support this unique ministry. Please make your tax-deductible contribution by mail to Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. With your support, we can continue to broadcast the positive message of the mainline churches in 2009 and for many years to come. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.